My name is Tina, and I'm the worship producer here at Purpose Church. I, together with a wonderful team of leaders and volunteers, lead the worship arts ministry here at Purpose Church. A lot of people think about worship equating to music, but really that's not the case. Firstly, God tells us to make joyful noises, not perfect noises, but also that everything that we do, if we do it for God, is an act of worship. So as living sacrifices on a daily basis, no matter if we're talking to our friends or helping our parents, whatever it might be, washing dishes, that can be done for God. And that's what we want to cultivate through the Sunday acts of worship and Wednesday acts of worship, so that every day, every moment, we're relying on God and worshiping. We have this rich history of teaching the children and the next generation not just artistic skills, but how to worship and why we worship and what we do is ultimately for God. We can certainly worship at home by ourselves or watch worship online by ourselves, but there's something about God calling us to not give up meeting together, because when we're together, we hone each other and we encourage each other. So this Sunday worship experience is something that it's not to be taken lightly and not to be given up, because we are better together.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Welcome back to Purpose Church, or welcome to Purpose Church for the first time. My name is Eric, and I'm one of the pastors here. And thank you so much, Tina, for sharing your story with us. My wife, Sarah, and I have had the privilege of being close friends with Tina and her husband, Justin, for over 15 years. And these two are an amazing power couple. In fact, between the two of them, they can basically do absolutely everything. And our church is so blessed to have both of them serving here and serving Jesus. Well, welcome. We're glad you're joining us. And I tell you this every single Sunday, I love you. And I'm so glad that you're with us. But more than anything, you need to know the creator of the universe created you, and he loves you. In fact, our vision at Purpose Church is to see everyone everywhere following Jesus. That means you have a part to play in God's story. And we'd love to connect with you. If you haven't taken your next step to join the Purpose community, to join a life group or start serving, we would love to help you do that. From wherever you're watching around the world or listening from, we want to encourage you to visit our webpage, purposechurch.com/next steps, and you can fill out one of our connect cards and let us help you get more connected. Well, let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 12. And while you're opening to Romans chapter 12, this Sunday, depending on when you're listening to this Sunday, there's still time for you to join us for our welcome lunch here on campus this Sunday, October 20th at 12:45 p.m. right after our last service. It's about a 1-hour lunch experience where you'll get to know some of our other pastors and leaders here at Purpose Church. You'll get to meet some other people who are newer to Purpose Church, hear a little bit about our vision, and even ask some of your questions. Our hope is that in just about an hour's time, you leave well-fed, your kids are happy, you're happy, and you've connected with some people and maybe had a better understanding of what Purpose Church is all about. So make sure you join us for that. And our production team and our design team also put together an incredible new welcome guide that helps lay out in a really creative and beautiful way what we are all about here at Purpose Church. So make sure to get one of those at the welcome lunch, or you can stop by the Connect Center to grab one of those anytime you're with us. Well, in this past week, I want to share three God sightings from Purpose Church. And God sightings is a phrase that our Purpose Kids ministry uses to talk about things that we see God up to in our midst. The first one is, I've asked and encouraged you guys to put your everyone everywhere key in a place where you remember it. And I've had so many of you reach out to me and share with me about how you've put them on your keychain or in your Bible or somewhere close to you. And some of you have shared some really creative ways that you are storing your key. In fact, I got a message from Vanetta this week that Vanetta, one of our worship leaders, she turned her everyone everywhere key into an earring. Because remember, you are a key holder of Purpose Church, that you are carrying the vision to see everyone everywhere following Jesus everywhere you go. And that key is a reminder. And so I want to encourage you, send me an email or send me a message on Instagram with what you're doing with your key. And I would love to see where you're storing them and the creative things that you're up to. The second thing, the second God sighting is, you know, last Sunday, I challenged all of us to take a 7-day fast from screens and music and podcasts or audiobooks or even reading other books, and instead to spend that time either reading the Bible or listening to the Bible. And I had two guys on separate occasions in our church message me and basically say, hey, that was a really difficult challenge. In fact, it kind of messed with my normal flow. But both of them, not even knowing each other, they both said, but here's the crazy part. By the end of Tuesday night, they had already listened to all of Paul's 13 letters in the New Testament. One of those guys, David, he sent me a message this week where he was basically, he was at a Dodgers game hoping to be able to post and share that he had been at a Dodgers game, but because of the fast, he couldn't. And so David, this one's for you. This is your social media post to the world about the Dodgers game. And we're so proud of you and so proud of all of you for participating in this challenge. And then the third thing I wanted to share with you is our entire staff got away this last week for a spiritual renewal retreat. And I just sense that our staff, after going so hard for so long, after investing so much, that we needed to take some time to be refreshed in the Lord, to reconnect with each other. And so thanks to Forest Home Christian Camps, they sponsored us and helped us get there. We had an amazing time at this retreat. In fact, we have a silly picture of most of our staff, and it was such an encouraging time. And I just want to tell you this, Purpose Church, your staff loves Jesus, that you are safe in their spiritual care because they deeply love Jesus and they love you. In fact, every Sunday when I tell you I love you, I'm not just saying I love you, but I'm really speaking on behalf of the whole staff. They love you. Well, today we are in week 3 of our series, We Are That Kind of Church. 8 essentials for every church God blesses, Satan hates, and the world needs. And today we're talking about essential number 3. We are a worshiping church. But an important question to ask is, what is worship? Well, the Apostle Paul answered that for us in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Friends, let me define it this way. Anytime you embrace and obey God's commands, you are worshiping Him. And the reverse is true. Anytime you embrace and obey the world's values, the world's commands, you are not worshiping God. So when you tithe, you're worshiping God. When you're serving, you're worshiping God. And today we're going to spend the bulk of our time talking about how when we are singing, when we are worshiping God musically, we are worshiping. And if you've been around church for a while, it's probably pretty normal for you to walk into a worship gathering where people are singing and raising their hands and expressing their worship to God. But maybe you remember a time where you were new to Christianity. You had just recently given your life to the Lord, or you were unfamiliar with musical worship in a church setting. And if we're honest, if we put ourselves in the shoes of people who aren't used to it, it's sort of a strange and like kind of unique experience, right? I remember talking to somebody once who was not a believer, and he had been contracted by a church to run their soundboard during one of their worship events. And this guy had never been to a church before. So he shows up and he's getting to know the soundboard. He's doing a sound check with the team. And then all of a sudden, all the members of the congregation come in. And they all stand and they start lifting their hands as they're worshiping. And this sound guy, having never been in church before, became really flustered because he couldn't see the band anymore. And so he literally told me he started walking down the aisles telling people to sit down, like literally saying, sit down, I can't see the band, sit down. He asked people to lower their hands because it was such an unfamiliar, unusual, and unique experience. But for some of you, you've had some of your greatest breakthroughs in worship. In fact, you trace your spiritual journey or a new trajectory of your life to that moment, to that season, to that time where you were worshiping God through music. Or maybe musical worship is a little bit awkward for you. Maybe you're uncertain about what exactly to do during those times. Well, my hope is today's an encouragement for all of us based on the importance of engaging in musical worship as we thank and praise God. But here's something really cool that's just a great benefit for all of us. Musicologists, they tell us that when people sing together, when a group of people sing together, two things happen. Number one, their heart rates slow down. And number two, their hearts actually begin to beat in a synchronized rhythm with one another. I mean, check this out. At a physiological level, worshiping God with others brings peace to our hearts and it unifies our hearts. And so I want to take the rest of our time and talk a little bit about how we worship, when we worship, why we worship, and the ultimate reason to worship. Well, let's start here. The Psalms show us how to worship. Now, here's just a few biblical ways to engage in musical worship. You can shout for joy. Psalm 33, verse 3 says, "Sing to him a new song, play skillfully, and shout for joy." You can clap your hands. Psalm 47, verse 1, "Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy." You can sing. Psalm 90, verse 14, "Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days." Now, we've talked about this word before, but that phrase, unfailing love, is the Hebrew word hesed, which appears over 240 times in the Old Testament. It means God's kindness, his loving kindness, his mercy, his goodness, his faithfulness, his loyal love, and his acts of kindness. You see, we worship God because he is faithful to us, because his love is unfailing. We can also bow down. Psalm 95, verse 6, "Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker." We can lift up our hands. Psalm 134, verse 2, "Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord." And we can dance and make music. Psalm 149, verse 3, "Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with timbrel and harp." Can I ask you a question? Which of these ways of worshiping God is he stretching you to try? Maybe simply singing. It would be a stretch outside of your comfort zone. I want to challenge you and encourage you to try that. Maybe lifting up your hands or clapping your hands. I'm not sure what it is, but I want to invite you to ask God right now, which of these forms of worshiping him is he inviting you to take? The next thing we discover is that the first Christians show us when to worship. Number one, worship regularly. In Acts chapter 2, it says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, a form of worship, and to prayer. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." Kenneth Gangel, an Old Testament scholar, he says this, "The early church was marked by faithful attendance, meeting together daily in the temple courts. They prayed, gave, ate, and rejoiced together. They practiced the presence of Jesus, still a good idea for his people. What happens to believers who worship, work, and witness for their Lord? The Lord grows the church." Christians prioritized these two gatherings. They would gather in the temple courts for a corporate time of worship, and they would gather in their homes in more intimate settings. At Purpose Church, we want to invite you to prioritize those same two gatherings, to prioritize regularly being in a worship service with a diverse corporate gathering of people. And we want to encourage you to prioritize being in a life group where you can get to know people on a more intimate level and you can grow deeper in your relationship as you study God's word. You see, a worship service is a diverse gathering of people. It's unifying us around the love of God. It's unifying us to each other. And it is helping us live on mission as Christ's ambassadors. When the body of Christ gathers together, we have an opportunity to love God, to love each other, and to be united as we spiritually practice the same things, as we're experiencing God together, as we're being motivated to continue to live on mission as Christ's ambassadors. The early church, they gathered large and small with both passionate disciples of Jesus and those exploring Jesus for the first time. I mean, look at what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues and inquirers or unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin and are brought under judgment by all, as the secrets of their hearts are laid bare. So they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. You see, the very early churches, the New Testament churches, they had on the forefront of their minds not yet believers, people who were exploring Jesus, who were curious about Christ. And that's our priority as a church. You see, the church is a group of people who have been saved from their sins and saved for God's purposes. And each one of us are in a long process of sanctification or becoming more like Christ. If you're a little skeptical about God, you're welcome here at Purpose Church. If you're hurting and broken, you're welcome here. If you're struggling in sin, you're welcome here. If at one time you were connected to a church, but you haven't for a while and you're re-engaging and re-exploring, you are welcome here. If you're wanting to grow deeper in your relationship with God, you are welcome here. Now, sometimes I meet people who say, you know, I don't go to church because there are too many hypocrites. And you know what I tell them? And you could tell them when you talk with these people, I tell this to them all the time. I go, you know what? You're right. The church is full of hypocrites. None of us are perfect. All of us are on a journey. In fact, I want to tell you about one of the biggest hypocrites in our church. You know who one of the biggest hypocrites in Purpose Church is? Me. That I'm still learning how to follow Jesus. There's still parts of my life that God is sanctifying and working through. And so let me share this with you. If you're hesitant about coming to church or engaging in a family, in a believing family, because of hypocrites, let me share this with you. Don't be a part of a local church because it's filled with perfect people. Join a local church because a perfect Savior died and rose from the dead to bring together a group of imperfect people who would carry his message to the world. That perfect Savior has commanded you to be a part of his imperfect family, the church. If you're a follower of Jesus, it is not optional to be a part of a church. But this should free you. In fact, it frees me. You don't need to be a part of a perfect church that only has perfect people because you won't find one. Be a part of an imperfect church that follows a perfect Savior. Number two. When do you worship? Worship when you are suffering. In Acts chapter 16, it says the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. I got to tell you, this passage is so convicting every single time. I mean, if my Wi-Fi isn't working at home, it's hard for me to worship God. If I don't get the right Starbucks drink, it's hard for me to worship God because I'm weak in the flesh. And here are Paul and Silas, great examples to all of us. I mean, they have literally experienced, they've been humiliated, they've been stripped naked, they've been physically abused, they're cold, they're hungry, it's the middle of the night, and they are singing to God. You know, I was thinking about this last month, September. It was an incredible month for us as a church family as we celebrated Pastor Glenn and Kimberly retiring. And yet on a personal level, for our family, there were some real challenges in the month of September. I got pneumonia at the very beginning of the month, and it has just carried on. It has just lingered and been such a challenge for me. And then we also were in the process of moving during the month of September. We've been praying for a while that we could live in a home closer to Purpose Church. And so as we were preparing to move and as we were selling our house, literally 2 days before the final walkthrough with the new owner and the close of escrow, the sprinklers in the backyard broke and water's just like bursting into the air. The pipes in our house, some of the water pipes in our house started making this weird noise. The fridge downstairs started this like annoying buzzing. And I was like, God, this is just too much. I mean, I am like the least handy person you've ever met. When I change a light bulb, I feel like a real man. Like that's the limit of what I can handle. And yet during the whole month of September, God was reminding me that I can delight in my weaknesses because he is strong. He was challenging me to prioritize more prayer and more worship of him, even when things are difficult, even when we're suffering. Some of you just got a cancer diagnosis recently. Some of you are experiencing rejection or heartbreak. There's been a loss of some kind amongst your community. Maybe you're afraid. There's some things you're uncertain about. You're embarrassed. You're angry. Your grades aren't what you want them to be. The place you work isn't where you hoped you would be. And honestly, you're suffering right now. And maybe you're feeling hopeless. In fact, maybe logging on right now or listening, you're just looking for some hope. Let me try to give you some. You see, Paul and Silas's situation looked hopeless. But they sang and they worshiped God because they serve the God of hope. You see, they didn't have any hope in their circumstances, but they had unlimited hope in their God because their God is the one who distributes hope, because Jesus Christ downloads and installs into the operating system of our lives a hope that our circumstances never could. And even when things are really great in our lives or when things leave us absolutely hopeless, there is nothing like the eternal, unending, untakeawayable, if that's even a word, hope that Jesus Christ offers us. Well, the early church, they show us why we worship. Number one, God deserves it. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. We know that when we repent, when we turn to Jesus, that we get access to an unshakable kingdom. No matter how shakable and fragile the kingdoms are of our lives, the things that we so quickly put all of our hope and our trust and our identity in, we are told and promised in Scripture that the kingdom of God is unshakable. But then the text says, as we worship God, we must remember he is a consuming fire. The temptation in 2024 is to think of God merely as a buddy, to think of him as a friend that comes alongside us and helps us accomplish whatever it is that we want to do with our lives. But Scripture is clear that a right view of God always puts into perspective that he is compassionate, loving, gracious, and merciful. And at the same time, he is holy. He is just. He cannot be in the presence of sin apart from the atoning work of Jesus Christ, that God Almighty is all powerful. He is eternal. He is infinite. We are finite. And a proper view of God will always put you in a posture of reverence and awe because he is a consuming fire. And as his creations, fallen, sinful, broken, we can't stand, we can't be in the perfect full presence of a holy God, but Jesus Christ has made that possible through the gospel, through his salvation of our sins. But he is a consuming fire. Number two, everyone needs it. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, why should you gather together as the body of Christ corporately and worship Jesus? Because by worshiping Jesus, you have the opportunity, whether you know it or not, to encourage others. And because God receives it. And number three, God mobilizes through it. Now, I had never quite seen this text before, the power of this, until recently. But in Acts chapter 13, it says, "While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off." Did you see what happened? It was in a corporate worshiping gathering. It was amongst a group of believers who were worshiping Jesus, worshiping God, that the Holy Spirit spoke in a powerful way, telling Paul and Barnabas to go as missionaries to spread the gospel. And eventually Paul would write much of the New Testament. All of that was birthed out of a worship gathering. You see, here's what's so powerful about gathering together as a people worshiping Jesus together is that God will fuel us for his mission and he will give us the GPS coordinates for his mission. In fact, there's some of you right now who you've been waiting a while to hear from the Lord, that you're wondering, what does God want me to do? And I want to tell you, get to church. Gather with a group of diverse people, not just those that you're close with, that handful of people. I'm talking about gather with the diverse body of Christ. Start worshiping Jesus and watch how he fills you, how he fuels you, and how he gives you a vision for what he is calling you to do. See, when we worship God, we are actively resisting, actively fighting against our temptation to hurry through life. And we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. You see, I don't know if you're anything like me, but I struggle. I struggle with hurrying from one thing to the next. And sometimes it's hard to even enjoy the thing I'm in because I'm worried about hurrying to the next thing. And the other day I was worshiping and I was praying and I was reading God's word and he convicted me. He reminded me that I am oftentimes saying hurry to my kids. That I'll frequently tell them, "Guys, hurry, hurry, we got to go. We got to go. Hurry, hurry, hurry." And I felt like the Lord just said, "Eric, I'm not telling you to hurry. So stop telling your kids to hurry." And so I went out into the living room and I said, "Hey guys," I gathered the kids together and I said, "Guys, the Lord's convicted me. I'm telling you to hurry too much. I'm asking for your forgiveness. And because I really think the Lord wants to change this in me, I'm gonna start paying you a dollar. Every single time I use the word hurry, I'm gonna pay you a dollar." And it's only been a couple of days, friends, but I have had to pay them. In fact, we're gonna take a second offering right now because I'm just kidding, we're not gonna do that. But I'm just telling you, it has cost me. And yet I've already sensed God working in my heart as I'm prone to wanna hurry, to pause and to remember that in this moment of reading his word, in this moment of worshiping and praying, God wants to mobilize me, which is why I want to invite you. This Wednesday, we are doing an all-church worship and prayer night. in our event center, formerly the gym here at the Purpose Church campus. It's for junior high students, high school students, and all of the adults of Purpose Church. We are going to gather together and we are going to worship and we are going to pray. There's not going to be a ton of program. We are going to worship and we are going to pray and we are going to seek after God. Because I am so convinced in your personal life and for us as a church, God really wants to move in and through you. God really wants to move in and through us. The question is, do you really want him? And do we really want him? Look at the words of the psalmist in chapter 42. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? I want to invite you this Wednesday to come and meet with God at our all-church worship and prayer night. And let's see how he's going to mobilize us in our personal lives and as a church to accomplish what he desires. I love this quote from Jim Cimbala. He says, you can tell how popular a church is by who comes on Sunday morning. You can tell how popular the pastor or evangelist is by who comes on Sunday night. But you can tell how popular Jesus is by who comes to the prayer and worship meeting. And friends at Purpose Church, Jesus is the most popular person. So I want to see you this Wednesday. And lastly, Revelation shows us we will worship together forever. In Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 to 10. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. You see, this great multitude was worshiping God, not because they had everything in common, not because they all looked the same or had the same cultures, but in fact, they were unified, not because they didn't have any differences, but they were unified because they shared the most important thing of all. Jesus Christ was and is their Lord and Savior. And so, friends, here's our spiritual practice for this week. And I want to invite all of you to join me in this. Take time every day this week to sing to God and try a couple of the methods from the Psalms that stretches you, shouting for joy, clapping your hands, bowing down, lifting up your hands, dancing, and making music. And join us this Wednesday night for our all-church worship and prayer night, because we are a worshiping church.